may be something that I needed to speak on or touch bases on as far as the body was concerned, because we need to understand the significance of how it pertains to revival. Amen? Stand with me, if you don't mind. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen, when you have it. John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. The Bible says that, or this is the words of Jesus, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Woo! I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. I want to read that and amplify. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the fullest, till it overflows. Amen. Y'all ain't excited. I am. Praise God. Right? I want to talk about the framework of abundance. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this service as you already have. I thank you for the spirit that I feel in the room. I pray that I'm able to convey what you desire to convey, Lord God. I pray, Lord, as we begin to send you praise and blessings, you begin to send it back down in abundance, Lord. We thank you for all that you are, for all that you do. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Tico called me one time and he said, "Pastor, can you do me a favor?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Stop saying that you're not a prosperity preacher." You remember that? I said, "I'm not, though." He said, "But we are. We're supposed to be prosperous. We're the church." Amen. And so we had an event that just transpired recently. It was kind of small, but the Lord showed me it goes a lot further than just this one event that transpired. It wasn't just isolated to that particular event. And so as I was talking to this gentleman, and actually I talked to a female as well, I was talking to them about something that the Lord was sharing with me. The Lord was like, "You need to preach that to the body." Amen. See, the thing about being abundantly blessed, ooh, hallelujah, is abundance means that I'm not living down here, right? If God says that I'm going to make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, first and not last, you see, that means that somewhere along the line, you have to been able to tap into something that pertained to abundance. Everybody says that God has given me life, and that life is supposed to be in abundance. So why are you living beneath your potential? Why are we struggling? Brother Eric preached it last week. He was like, "You know, I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and I just needed an answer," and yada, yada, yada. He got an answer, right? He got an answer quick. The Lord responded, and it all has to do with a mindset. It's a mindset, right? Because it's a mindset that's relegated to God, and when that mindset has been relegated to God, then he can start moving in a different way. Amen. When I first came into the church, right, the Lord starts speaking all these words. Can you, somebody shut that door? I hear the outside. Thank you. So I came into the church, and when I first came in, I got a word. Like, before I ever even stepped into the church, the Lord was already moving on my behalf. He was already speaking prophetically to me, right? He was speaking to me through people that didn't know anything about me. And I met this man that was in a wheelchair, and all of his limbs had been amputated. He was quadriplegic, right? So he begins to prophesy over me. He says, "The Lord told me to tell you that many days from the time that I tell you this, that people are going to come up to you and give you so much. It's going to be so much that you can't endure it. You ain't going to know what to do with it when it starts happening," right? You ain't gonna know what to do with it when people start blessing you. You understand what I'm saying, right? So immediately I'm like, dang, can you imagine God blessing us in a way? I'm telling Jay this. Can you imagine God blessing us in a way where you can't even contain the blessing for real? Where you don't know what to do with it because he's giving you so much to where it's just everywhere because you don't know what to do with it, right? And so I just begin to think, like, Lord, why would you do something like that for me? And then I begin to think, As I read the Word of God, and we used to always do the bread charge, that's been something that's been in church forever. I remember reading the Word of God, and then when I start reading the Word of God, I start going back, and as I'm preaching right now, I'm thinking of Sister Risa telling Brother Eric that you remind me of Abraham when you walk after the Spirit of God, amen. Well, Abraham was wealthy. Abraham was rich. Moses was rich. Joseph was rich. These were men of God that understood what abundance is. And I said, Lord, somehow you want your church to be abundant and not just, oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants you to be a blessed people, but with all things we must have balance. Woo, hallelujah. I remember I was in a Sunday school class once upon a time, and the preacher was saying something, and I knew that it wasn't for me. And I remember the Lord telling me through Brother Eric, we've always said words for each other. He said, Brother, do you believe what God is telling you? I said, I know that what God is telling me is truth. He says, well, then you got to balance the Word of God. You got to have balance. The problem is the church has lost its balance. The abundant part doesn't happen because the church is off balance. If you wonder why God isn't blessing you in a certain way and opening up doors for you in a certain way, that means somewhere along the line your balance is off. Why? Because he can't go against his word. JZL, stand up. Don, stand up. Stephanie, if she was in here, I would tell her to stand up. Amen. I'm just having them stand up, right? These are so, oh, JZL's in Sunday school class. So we'll just use Sister Don as example, right? Never mind. Sit down. I don't want to let, what's my slogan that you always say, I messed up? I'm going to let the rabbit out of the hat. I always say, what is it, the cat out of the hat? Okay, there we go. I always seen the rabbit come out of a magician hat, so she thinking of Dr. Seuss, right? Cat out of the hat, whatever, I don't know. Who cares? You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get ahead, amen? So the Lord tells me, he says, I'm going to give you so much that you ain't going to know what to do with it. You ain't going to be able to endure it, right? So immediately after that, I'm excited. I'm like, yeah, God's about to bless me, man. I'm crying. I'm like, yeah, God's going to do this, you know, because I believe it. I got a lot of faith. God's going to bless me. God's going to hook me up, right? And then all of a sudden, he said, give everything away. Give it all away. Everything you have, I want you to give it away. So I'm like, okay. I'm giving it away. I'm letting it go because God said he's going to bless me in abundance, right? He's going to hook me up. He's going to bless me to a point where I can't even contain it. I'm holding on to that promise. It was fun to me to just give stuff away except for one thing, which I already talked to you about a long time ago, right? So I started giving it all away because I just wanted to make sure that I was lining up and doing what God wanted me to do. Amen? So as time transpires, things started to slow down. And then the Lord began to show me, and he preached, oh, I heard a message once upon a time about the different phases that God will take you through. Amen. The first phase is where when I first got rid of everything, I could just pray and I could ask God for something. I could say, Lord, I need like $50 so we can eat today. Somebody will bless us with $50, right? Lord, we need food for the day. He'd take care of it every day, like for real. For a long period of time, God was answering our prayer every day. We didn't have this abundance where we just had a whole bunch of money to buy food for the month. We had to live day to day, just like the scripture says. Give us this day our daily bread, right? We literally had to walk that out. We wasn't just talking about it. We was living it. I need you to go pick somebody up at the church. Well, we don't have gas, but God's going to provide. We go pick somebody up, take them to church, and that person be like, here, the Lord tell me to give you gas money. Praise the Lord. We put them $20 in that Suburban, and it was just a little bit in the Suburban. Didn't go very far, right? But it was good. And guess what? When we put that $20 in the gas, there was $15 more so we could feed our family, right? It was a process. I remember I was sitting in Sister Don's room once upon in her living room, and we needed to pay our storage bill, and it was like $120. And I was like, Lord, I need you to take care of this bill because we don't got no money to take care of it. And I kid you not, probably about an hour later, somebody was knocking on the door. As a matter of fact, it was Brother Io, remember? Brother Io was knocking on the door. He said, Keith, I don't know why the Lord told me to come over here. Here's $120, and then he just gets in his car and leaves. See, walking in faith was fun because it came with a response, right? Every time I prayed for something, God was answering. Every time I needed something, God was answering. Amen. That's the first phase of your walk when you first come into the things of God. That's the first phase. He loves all over you. He shows you his hand, right? Amen. You see, if he breaks it down to you on a day-to-day basis, guess what? You're going to understand how he moves every day. Instead of just giving it to you all at once, he gives it to you piece by piece so you can see that he's faithful and that he's merciful and that he's graceful and that he's in your everyday life. He's interwoven in it, amen? So he had to slow it down for me, and he was showing me how much he loved me. And then all of a sudden, he goes quiet. He ain't answering prayers the same way. Lord, where you at? I got this bill. It was due like 2 months ago. Now 2 months done turned to 5 months. I'm behind on rent. Where you at, Lord? He goes silent, and you don't hear him. And you thinking, oh, man, my situation is getting progressively worse. Lord, should I get up and go do this, or should I do that? Or immediately our mindset starts going to it, and he's saying, just sit still. Well, Lord, I'm 5 and 6 months back on my mortgage and or my rent payment, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get evicted. He says, just trust in me. Amen. So this second phase, though, is where when God removes himself from the situation, even though he's there, he just stops talking to you the same way. He stops moving the same way. He ain't answering them prayers the way that he did it before. You want to know why? Because he's trying to see if you love him. See, he already showed you how much he loves you. But he's trying to see if you love him. How much do you love him? Do you love him enough to sit still and suffer knowing that he's going to bring you out? And I can tell you that I don't even know how many months we was behind. We was behind like $14,000 with this woman. And the Lord turned around and paid every cent back to her. And no, it wasn't because I worked 3 jobs and worked my fingers to the bone. The Lord worked it out for me miraculously to where we was able to give this woman back every last penny. And he still worked it out. Amen. That's that second phase, right? And unfortunately, majority of the church stays in the second phase. That's why we never see abundance. You don't see abundance because when things get rough or they get tough, you stop trusting God. When things don't go the way you want them to go, you stop trusting God. When things ain't moving how you're used to it moving and he's trying to teach you something different, you stop trusting God. And all the time, he's just saying, I need you to stay the course because once you get past this part, then you can move on to abundance. I can't move you to abundance if I can't trust you. I can't move you to the abundant if you love yourself more than you love me. I can't move you to the abundant if everything is about you, but you can't lay down yourself for me. You see, I own you now. See, they start laughing because I'll come in the house and be like, I own you. I'll just be joking. I'm your daddy. Everybody needs a daddy, Drew. You know, I play around all the time. But when it's all said and done, guess what? When he died on that cross, and he rose again. Guess what? Your tenure was paid. You got a receipt right there. Amen. The receipt went with him. You belong to him. You don't belong to yourself no more. You might think that you're in control, but you're not. And all that happens is he'll allow you to move, and you'll keep moving, and he'll put you right back at where you started because you still didn't get it, all while he's trying to build the framework of revival. Amen. Abundance means present in great quantity. This is the World Wide Web's definition, right? It means present in great quantity, extravagantly. Ooh, extravagant. Y'all know how y'all get that new car? Everybody be hating on you? That's extravagant. When you pull up and you rolling, well, you might want to lean. You might want to stand straight up. Don't lean back because, you know, that's proud. But you drive straight up with your seatbelt on them 24s. And be like Sister J, make sure it's clean every time it come out the garage. As they say in Europe, garage. You pull up, that's extravagant, and they looking at you, and they mad because you got it. Well, guess what? You got it because somehow you learn how to walk in abundance. They don't know what you had to go through. They didn't know that she had to be obedient every day to get a car that's paid off. They didn't know what she had to do in order to get that blessing. Go on and let them talk, because that's what extravagance does. It means prolifically. That means that people going to remember it. You remember when God blessed you like that? You know what's crazy about it? I know I'm going off the grid. But some people remember how God blessed you before you remember it. When you were in a trial and a test, you can't even remember that old testimony. They remember it, though, but you forgot about it. They'll be telling you, man, I remember when God did this and this and this and that. And you're sitting here like, man, oh, I'm going through it. Not knowing that God's using them to speak to you to say, hey, you know, you already tapped into this thing. All you got to do is just sit. You know what to do. You know how I move. Right? The biblical definition of abundance comes from the Greek word parousos. It means super abundant in quantity, superior in quality. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I don't know about y'all, but this abundant thing, it's a whole nother level when you start really looking at it, right? Listen. Brother Murray gave me a word. He says, God always gives you his best, right? God always gives you abundant, super abundant in quantity, superior in quality, excessive, exceedingly above and beyond. It's an advantage. It's very highly. It's beyond measure. It's more superfluous. That means that it's going to be different and better than what God has done for other people. Why? Because you're his son and you're his daughter. You are a child of a living God, and he desires to bless you his way. Which leads me into my scripture. In the book of John chapter 10, in my scripture reference, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters in not by the door into the sheepfold. This is before we ever get to the abundance part, right? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, right? So I want y'all to go somewhere with me real quick. I was thinking about this as I was reading it, right? If I came to your house and you tell me we're having dinner at 2 p.m., and I say, okay, I'll be there, and you tell me, knock on the front door, you know, most of the time people already know to knock on your front door unless you're having a barbecue or something in the back, but it's cold outside, we're in the house, right, from my analogy. So I come to your house, but instead of coming through the front door and knocking on the door, and I just go through your backyard, I go through all your business, and I go to the back door, and I knock on the door and say, doo, 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 doo. Hey, where the party at? You might not let me in. You're going to look at me like I'm stupid, right? I mean, I'm going to look at you real dumb if you come to my back door and you don't come through my front. I don't care if I'm Pastor Marquise or whatever. Look at me stupid, because that's dumb. That's dumb, right? But if you come around the side to my back door knowing that it's at the front door, right, it's going to be a problem. Jesus said, listen, you come through the sheepfold. A sheepfold is basically one big fence with a gate that's attached to it, right? And all he does is he opens up the gate like this, and the sheep come in, and he shuts the door, and he protects the sheep right here. And then there's times where he'll open that up, and he'll allow them to go out in the field so that they can graze and they can reproduce and they can be productive, right? So Jesus was telling them in this scripture as he was leading up to the abundant part, he was laying the framework. He says, listen, this is how I want it done. I want you to come through the sheepfold, come through the gate, but anybody that comes to this a different way, you are nothing but a thief and a robber. That means don't be trying to climb the fence and do it your way. He already opened up the door. Just walk through the door. But we want to climb the fence. We want, yeah, you know, for you athletic people, I'm going to just hop the fence. I don't need to go through the door because I want to show you that I can still jump. Well, still stay on the ground and just walk. He opened up the gate. He opened up the door, right? So as I'm sitting here and I'm reading this, the Lord took me to Malachi, and I'm not going to stay here long, but this is for you tithing people who don't want to pay tithes and offering because you think that your tithe goes to me. I bought this suit. You didn't. Right? The Lord blessed me with the money. It wasn't yours. Right? We do have a business. I'm going to get off that, though, but I'm going to come back. Now, Don, stand up. Right? Jesus said when you come about this a different way, You rob me. You're like a thief. So you notice there's people that's in church. They like this all the time. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to be blessed. I got something. Now I got this bill. I got money in my pocket. Somehow it's a hole and it's coming out. I don't even like talking about this. I hate talking about money, right? But the Lord told me you're going to talk about it, right? Because if people don't understand that your finances is really, it's all correlates to revival. If you don't understand that abundance is also attached to revival. If you don't understand that it's going to take money to finance a revival and you don't want to play your part, then you're going to miss out on one of the greatest things that's going to ever happen, because the boat is going to sail and the Lord will just move on with somebody that's willing to do it his way. I don't need nothing from you. I'm going to tell you straight up. I don't need a cent from you. Amen. Me and Jay turned away enough money that would have paid us. We would have been set for life this year. In our business, we didn't even need the church. Am I right, babe? We said, nah, we ain't going to do it because we would miss the church. We would miss the food bank. We miss seven figures. We miss everything to make money. We turn money away like it ain't nothing. We can't do that. Why? Because we got this right here. We got to tend to the church people first. We got to make sure the church is taken care of. But then you come in here, some of you will come in here and be like, I ain't paying tithes and offering and so on and so forth. I really don't care. I really don't. But I'm just going to preach it because I'm being obedient. Amen. I had Sister Dawn stand up. Check it out. Don has always been faithful before we was ever a church. She never missed tithing and offering. Do you know that at her job, they created a position for her because she was making, I'm going to go ahead and say it, I'm sorry. They had to make her a leader because she was making more money as a regular employee than some of the supervisors that was there. That's called favor. Go ahead, you can sit down. Don't get mad at her. That's extravagant. That means that she understood, hey, I got to take care of the things of God. Amen. The book of Malachi, the Bible says that, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offering. Now, you got them people that the Old Testament is irrelevant. Oh, it's only irrelevant when it's time to be applicable. It's only irrelevant because you don't want to take care of it. But see, there's this ledger that Jay does at the end of the year from your tithes and your offering. And I'm going to tell you this just like this. When I go and look, I don't do money. I don't even touch it. That'd be her and the accountant that she'll work with from time to time. Amen. But when she takes it and she gives y'all a receipt, I could tell you just like this. There's a list that goes down like this, and there's a list that goes down like this. All these people that was faithful in giving, guess what? They always got promoted. Jay Ayer is 23 years old, and he got a job telling him, tell me how much you want to get paid. Yeah, come on. Who does that? Come on. How much you want to get paid? But back to my saying. Abundance is, I see them. They get blessed this way. They get that special job. They get that everything is happening quick. They don't have this right here. It's a steady climb till they get to that point, right? But I can tell you those that neglected, we've had to step in the church, yeah, and say, here, we're going to pay this, we're going to have to pay that, we're going to help you here, and we want to dig into your finances. And then we'll have some be like, oh, I'm cool on that, I don't want you in my business. Oh, well, go ahead, right? But we'll say, here, we're going to help you like this, we're going to help you like that, we even give the tithes back, we even do whatever, because I told you this so many times, pay the tithes and I'll give it back if it's that serious. Why? Because we at least need you to be obedient because of the next part of that scripture. What does it say? You have been cursed, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Therefore, I will allow the devourer to attack your finances. You thought the scripture was irrelevant? He put that in the book for a reason. So when you thought you was keeping the tithe from God because you had a bill, guess what? Your car broke down. You thought you was being slick and keeping the tithe. Guess what? You got a bill that just came up. You got a collection, and they banging your account now. You got all these different things that just happened, because if you won't give it to God, guess what? It's going somewhere. I promise you that. You'll come back and say, Pastor, you was right. You was right. Part of revival is reviving your finances. We can't have a revival when he got a bunch of people that don't want to do anything on his behalf. We can't have a revival if you're not willing to put God first. Ooh, hallelujah. If you're not willing to put God first when he needs you to. He owns it all, 100%. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So come on in, and I'm going to lead you out. You see, it's that part right there. You see, when you tap into abundance, God will take you through a process. Amen. Framework. That word framework is a process. Everybody say process. He'll take you through a process to build you up. Right? So when you start serving him, you start being faithful, he'll start adding to you. Once you get to that third phase and God is just blessing you because he know he can trust you, right? That's what it's all about, trust. Why would I give you $1 million and then I'll tell you to give $800,000 away? You so concerned with the $800,000 that you don't think that I could replace it. Why would I give it to you if I can't trust you with anything? I want you to look at it from the eye and the perspective of God. Why would I give it to you, but you won't give it to me? Why would I open up the door and bless you, but you won't bless me? Why would I take care of everything that you have, but you can't do nothing for me? The Lord didn't die for your household. He didn't die for your pocketbook. He died for his church. But you want him to take care of your pocketbook. You want him to take care of your household, but you don't want to take care of his church. And that's what he died for. He died to start his church. I can't give it this week because I got this bill. You better pay the bill for it. Be two bills next week. But anyway. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So he lets you in, and he lets you go out. But while you're going out, you ain't out by yourself. He's gone before you because he's your reward and your re-reward. That means he's in the front of you and he's in the back of you. That means that he's opening up doors for you in the front and he's taking care of all your past issues. He's taking care of what you got need of now and he's taking care of all the things that you had in the past. That's because you tapped in. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't even know what he was talking about. So Jesus says to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. He says, I am the door, but by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That means you got this revolving door with Jesus that never closes, right? So you can come in through the door. You can go out, gather, obtain. You know, but see, there's something about wolves, right? Remember you preached that? There's something about wolves. Live out in the open country and you got wolves running wild and you got some sheep out there. You're going to take loss, right? You're going to take loss. So the Lord gave you the ebbs and the flows, the ins and outs. But he's protecting you because if there's a shepherd, there's somebody there that can ward off the wolves, right? So you out in the pasture, and you out living your life and doing what you do with protection when you do it God's way. But see, when there's no God in the picture and he let you out and you out in the pasture, there's wolves that come to devour you. It's quiet in here. Let's worship the Lord for a minute. Pastor's ruffling feathers. He's ruffling feathers. Yeah, ain't that right, Brother John? Y'all want to be blessed, though, right? I heard two people say yes. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between the Lord sufficing your needs than being blessed abundantly. The Lord has a biblical responsibility to make sure that you're taken care of every day. Do you know that? That means that he will take care of your bills, your rent, and so on and so forth. But that's not abundance. That's having things in common. That's Acts 27 stuff. Right? That's where we all, okay, he took care of that and my bills, but many of you never tap into the abundant part because you stay stuck at number two. You lean to your own understanding. You figure out or you try to tell God how to bless you or you reject the blessings of God because you think you have enough. Hallelujah. Abundance means that it's overflowing, it's spilling. Let's talk about Jay's Air Max 90s. They spilling. Spilling to where we create a whole closet in the bedroom. Like, no, it's time to stop down for real. It's time to stop.
got her friends, you need to get her a closet. I'm like, she got two. And they're all four. But Philip III, I got two, three, four. That's what it looks like. I told this person, I said, God wants to give you this. And they was like, I don't need that. God didn't ask you what you needed. He asked you what you needed. He just said, get it. I don't need that. You better get it. I don't know what you're talking about. You better not take me somewhere and be like, get this. I'm going to get it all. You better tell me when to stop. So I'm getting it. We going to dinner. I'm going to get what I want. You on a budget. Well, I'm paying dinner for you then because I'm going to eat what I want. Right? I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. If you're the head, not the tail, that means you ain't supposed to be begging as a child of God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. You don't have to beg when you're a child of God and you've lined up. It's already there. You got everything that you need. But see, what stops us from making it to that abundant part is the mindset that God has to come over and over and over again and tell him, it's still there. It's still there. I need to move it out of you. It's still there. I need it out of you. It's still there. I need it out of you. Why? Because we got some abundance to go obtain. Ooh, hallelujah. So I said, Lord, I need to bring this home. I need a story. And then before I get to that story, all of this, the Lord saying, the ebbs and flows. This is how he moves. You come in, he loves on you. He loves on you. Then he turns around and sees you love on him. You know, you don't want to love something that doesn't love you back, right? I want to see how much you love me. Lord, I'm willing to hurt for you. Lord, I'm willing to go without for you. I know that you're going to take care of it because you always do, but that's that reciprocal, right? It's that love up in them. Because when you're in the marriage, guess what? There's going to be times where you're in love, and there's going to be times where you got to prove that you love them. Right? That's what marriage do. For my married folks in here, right? Sometimes she like you, sometimes she don't. Sometimes you like her, sometimes you don't. But see, when you understand how God moved, then you'll understand there's an ebb and flow even in that relationship. The relationship will get to the abundant love and to the abundant blessing and to the abundance when you understand that you need to keep God in the equation. You can't remove him. He always has to be at the center, and he always has to be able to check you. He has to always be, yeah, we ain't trying to hear that part, right? God telling me I'm wrong. Oh, I got it all together. Yeah, no, you don't. But I was like, Lord, give me an example of a scripture that kind of paints this illustration of framework, the blessing to being able to be abundantly blessed to get to that point. And I know some people might argue with me like, yeah, you know, I got money already. My parents, blah, 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 and this got this, and they got that, and so on and so forth. You might do, right? But there's a difference between the economy out there and here. Some people are going to be rich just because they're great businessmen, great businesswomen, right? But I'm talking about that supernatural blessing where you can't take credit for what your brain did. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what's dope. Like, I can't even take credit for the stuff because the stuff that the Lord threw at us that we said, no, I didn't even want to do. It wasn't something I wouldn't even chose it. I'd have been like, nah, I'm good. I'm cool. That ain't what I'm trying to be doing with my life, no. But you became good at it because the Lord's like, here, I'm going to take you here, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to lead you, and blah, blah, blah. And then somebody throwing money at you, and you're like, oh, God. Like, babe. Maybe we can, JoJo. You know, you start thinking about it, but then you're like, JV, like, let me tell you something. I can be abundant, and I don't have to work my fingers to the core to get it. I could be blessed that way. But I thought about the story, and the Lord, or I asked the Lord, and the Lord laid the story about Elijah with the widow in the Old Testament. And I'm just going to read it. I would just tell the story, but I'm going to read it. He says, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee, right? So he gets up, he goes to Zarephath, he came to the gate of the city, and the woman was there gathering sticks. And as she's gathering sticks, he calls to her, he says, hey, fetch me, I pray you. Go get me some water, please. And so she goes to get him some water, and then he tells her, bring me a little cake. Right? This story must have came up before. We got eye contact.
right? So she says, go fetch me a little cake too. And she says, and her response was interesting, right? She says, as the Lord liveth, it ain't much in that barrel. As the Lord live, I don't have much to give you. So, but I thought it odd that she didn't go and say, my situation is dead and I just don't have anything. She did say I'm gonna die, but I thought it was interesting that she says, as the Lord lives. She says, as the Lord lives, I don't have much. And so he says, go ahead and go get what I need you to get. Go ahead and go out and make me a little cake, finish doing what you was doing, and so on and so forth. And the Bible says that she goes out and she gets the cake. And when she comes back, everybody knows that she didn't have to worry about what was in the barrel. She didn't have to worry about oil because somehow she moved from one space to the next all in two or three paragraphs of scripture. She went from proving her love to God to being abundantly blessed just by one choice and one decision that she made. You see, most people, let me say, and I'm going to get back here on tithes and offering real fast, right? Because I've always paid tithes. I pay tithes to the church, too. Did y'all know that? Raise your hand if you knew it. Oh, like three people knew. You didn't know that when Jay and I make money, we pay money to the church? Oh. Mic drop. We probably give more than all y'all to the church, right? Anyway. He clowning. Trying to make it fun because I don't want y'all to leave here like I beat you up. I at least want you to laugh and say, hey, Pastor, I still love you. You know? But this is what was odd, though, right? This is where I caught it, right? He says she was going to fetch it. He called her. He said, bring, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she says, the Lord thy God liveth. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in it, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, just go. Do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make one for you and your son. Right? Did y'all see what just happened right there? In one paragraph, she's saying, I don't have. And the key word in it right here was Elijah said, don't fear. Just that one thing. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid that you ain't gonna have enough when you serve a God that has abundantly blessed. Stop being afraid to give unto him and not thinking that he ain't going to give it back to you in some way. Stop being afraid because fear is the kryptonite and it stops us from tapping into the abundance. That's why when it's time to prove that we love God, we fail tremendously because we're afraid to start giving back to him. I'm afraid that I need it more than you. You see, her mindset was, this is my last. I don't have nothing. See, we can get up and go Uber, we can Lyft, we can DoorDash, you can even buy a Sprinter van and you can go, Brother Anthony's a mechanic, if he has a shop, you could buy a Sprinter van and go pick up his parts and drop it off like it's food now. There's so many ways for us to make money, right? She didn't have that at her fingertips. She didn't have it. But guess what? She said, this is all I have. Me and my son gonna die, but the Lord lives. And this is her thing. This is what went it all right here. This is where it's at. She went and made that cake, and she didn't even have none. She had to go make that cake in faith. Oh, hallelujah. She had to trust the prophet's word that God was going to bail her out. And so she trusted God more than she trusted herself. You see, she could have been like some people here. I need the money more than God do. I got this bill coming up. I can't pay the tithes because I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I can't. But see, faith is saying, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. That bill's going to take care of it. You're going to take care of it somehow. And I'm going to let it sit until you take care of it because I trust that you understand time better than I do. She went from being number two to number three, being abundantly blessed because she proved that she loved her God. And even greater, she proved that she can do whatever it is that he wanted her to do and walk in obedience so that he could bless her. Stand with me.
Bible says in verse 15 to 16, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Woo. She went from being about to die to eating many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which spake by Elijah. You see, the oil and the barley was worth money. She went from not being able to eat to having a business that was lucrative. They don't hear it, brother. They don't hear it. They still want to go to work, work a 10-hour shift and get off and keep their money. But don't you know you can really go before God and say, hey, Lord, give me a business. Make me abundant. Give me a business, Lord. Show me how I will be effective. Show me how I could be successful. Show me how I can do it. We live so beneath the means as church people. That's why 3% or 97% of the world works for 3%. Did y'all know that? They tell you to go to college so that you can work for that 3%. That's really what that is. I ain't going to go there. My daughter's in college. Sister Ace is in college, right? But that's what the financial banking families of the world did. They went out, they created college so they could teach you how to run their businesses so you would never become a business owner. That part. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that something that was spoken, Lord, it deposits deep inside of us, Lord God, that we'll stop living in fear, Lord, and get to that point where we're ready to usher in the revival that you have for us, Lord. Part of revival is reviving our finances, Lord God, bringing us back to a place of activity where we're active, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll go before us, Lord God, and that you'll keep your hands on us, Lord. I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we won't walk out of here offended, but, Lord God, we'll go to the word, Lord, and that we'll go and we'll try you because you said, try me to see if my word is true. I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we'll stop leaning to our own understanding and that we'll realize, Lord, that you always have a better answer than us, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we'll get out of our way, especially now on this fast, Lord God, that we'll seek you, Lord, and that we'll learn to do it your way, Lord, so that our body, so that the church is abundantly blessed, Lord, as you desire to do it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And everybody say, amen. These altars are open if you need to spend time in prayer.